Oh, shit.
Mama bear. Okay. Have this conversation with the microphone.
Hey, Ma. Hey. Actually, Ezra and I are recording the podcast right now. Can I call you later? He's holding the microphone up to my mouth.
You what?
We're recording the podcast right now. Can I call you later? He has the microphone up to my mouth.
Okay, yes. You call me tonight or tomorrow.
Okay. Sounds good. Nothing urgent?
Nothing. I was just checking on how your consultation went, so just call me whenever.
Okay. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
There's your cold open.
Yeah, honestly.
Hello, hello, and welcome to one of our recap episodes where we go absolutely cuckoo bananas watching Degrassi The Next Generation from beginning to end. I'm your host, Keely Bell, and join me every other week with Ezra Parter as we watch these characters do whatever it takes and make it through.
Do you want me to intro over this?
Yeah, in honor of JT.
Okay. Welcome back to Cuckoo Bananas, colon, a Degrassi. No, shit.
That shit was dope.
Welcome back to Degrassi. Really no, oh my timing. God. Welcome
You're
back.
You're so thrown off.
I know, I really am. To Cuckoo Bananas, exclamation point, a Degrassi, colon, The Next Generation podcast. This is going to be a chaotic one because, as we know, when we start the episode with beatboxing, it always goes chaotic.
Have we done that before?
One time before, yes. Oh. But yes, it's been a little while.
It has been a little while, yeah.
Oh, I'm your host, Keely Bell.
Oh, and my name is Ezra Parter.
I am a self-proclaimed Degrassi The Next Generation expert, and this is my boyfriend, Ezra, who knows nothing
about Degrassi.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's been a little while, huh?
Yeah, it has. I feel like it's been maybe a month since we recorded.
About 3 weeks, I think. Did we have we recorded since we came back from New York?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. That's a good
maybe
question.
One time.
Maybe once, yeah. Yeah, Rock and Roll High School was definitely after.
New York. I'm disagreeing with you. I don't have any feeling about it, but.
But before we sat down and watched this episode, I was literally like, I am so over season three. I want to be done with season three.
And I said, I'm loving it. We've got to go episode by episode.
Yeah. Yeah. You didn't say that
really
first part.
I want to really deeply dissect each and every moment.
But how have our lives changed since we last recorded? I started rehearsals for Little Shop of Horrors.
Yes.
And that's been really fun.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Have I done anything? I don't think so.
Nothing new, I don't think.
Yeah, no. I had a set in a comedy festival with Public Breakup, which was very fun, my sketch group. I think that's it.
Yeah. Daniel's in a Fringe show.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fringe Festival.
That's cool.
Other than that, our lives have been fairly uneventful. Mm-hmm. Uneventful isn't the right word. We've been busy.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing new has come up. We've seen a lot of plays, seen a lot of musicals.
We have seen a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've been very active in the community.
Yeah. Because we went to New York.
Oh,
we went to
it's Broadway. Pride.
It's Pride Month.
Yeah.
Happy Pride. Happy Pride. We went to New York. We saw Broadway shows. We came back to LA. We saw Six, the musical at the Pantages. We also saw some plays that friends are in. Mm-hmm. It's just been a whole thing. I'm seeing Daniel's play on Friday. It's a whole thing.
Wow.
But yeah, it is Pride Month. Happy Pride to those who observe.
And in honor of Pride Month, we haven't had any straight sex since the beginning of June.
You decipher what that means on your own. No, you tell me what you think it means, honey.
I think it means we had a bit of a dry spell.
I thought that meant that we were either having sex with other people of our same
sex. Yeah.
Or that I'm pegging you, which is straight sex still.
It sure is.
But I feel like it's straight, but like curved a little bit.
Well, depending on what kind of peg you get. But I think it just takes a little bit of an openness that requires a little bit of a queerness.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But in honor of Pride, we watched Degrassi season 3, episode 19, It's Raining Men.
That's right. If we had come on this episode in May, we would have skipped it.
We would have been homophobic.
Marco's dad.
I forget. I honestly forget how homophobic Mr. Del Rossi
was. Yeah, that was really in your face there.
It really was. Do you remember what you predicted this episode was going to be about?
I think I was pretty much right.
No, you were off.
What did I say?
You said a few things, one of which I had to cut.
What was it? Oh, was it the one about... Did I predict that Marco was going to get covered in a lot of cum?
Yes.
Yeah. That's,
yes, you did.
I mean, the title is It's Raining Men. I had to say it.
Yeah. I cut that. Okay. You also said that you think Marco's going to get introduced to the gay club scene.
Oh, interesting.
And then you also said that you think it's a rainy day and that Marco is trapped inside. And so he, in order to relieve himself, has to look up a lot of gay porn and it gets found by his father.
That's funny.
And you also predicted we would meet his parents, and you were right, about one thing.
Well, It's Raining Men, this is my critique of the episode. Mm-hmm. It's Raining Men is all about one man,
right?
Like,
yeah,
it's not It's Raining Man would have been fine.
Also, yeah, I think this is a lazy episode title, definitely, because they were just like, they kind of just took a song that is very popular in queer spaces, and they went, oh, let's just slap it on there. But it has no like meaning to the episode at all.
That's why I assumed it was going to be a lot of men, hence gay club.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. This would be if this episode took place in 2023, and Marco joined a dating app. That would be a fun name for like a dating app episode where you're scrolling through men and it's so many of them.
As opposed to this one, which is just like, a cute rom-com.
Mm-hmm. This is a really cute, this is a good love-centered episode in its A and B plot.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, let's get into it. Let's get into it.
All right, yeah, I guess we can.
So we open up the episode. Paige and Spinner and Jimmy are walking into school, and Hazel, and Marco's dad drives up with Marco, and Marco gets out of the car and he's like, hey guys, semi-formal theme. And he opens up a poster that he printed, and we find out that his dad owns a printing business.
Yes.
This episode. And the semi-formal is Bollywood themed, which, wow. Okay.
The poster is just like a straight up Bollywood cover with Marco and
I think it's Ellie.
Is it Ellie? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Pretty silly, but also pretty cool.
Yeah.
And he's like, wow, it's so cool, isn't it? And Spinner's like, yeah, if you're, and then he's about to say gay.
Yeah. Well, he says, yeah, if you're a flaming. And he's like, oh, whoa.
But then Mr.
This is about to be a slur.
But then Mr. Del Rossi gets out of the car and he doesn't want to out Marco in front of his dad.
Yeah.
Or just say something that would even introduce that word into Mr. Del Rossi's lexicon, because as we will find out in about 20 minutes, he is really homophobic.
Really homophobic, but doesn't have a good vocabulary for it.
No. And Mr. Del Rossi's like, Paige and Spinner and Jimmy and Hazel all start talking about the dance and how they're running for king and queen and blah, blah, blah. Like last season, it's literally same plot as last season where they're like, oh, I'm going to be queen. No, I'm going to be queen. And then Mr. Del Rossi's like, no, you're all going to have to compete with Marco and whatever lady he decides to bring. And then they're all like, yeah, a lady. And he goes like, Marco, don't you have your eye on any girls? And Marco has his eye on Dylan, who is throwing a football across the lawn, and he looks so good.
They did like angelic mode for the camera.
His face is like perfect. I was like, what is happening? He's also very tan. I think he's covered in fake tan and then like also makeup on top of the fake tan to make his skin look like just gorgeous and glowing.
Yeah, picture like Trump level makeup but hot.
Yeah.
You don't have to agree with that.
And that was funny. That's why I agreed. Thank you. But yeah, Marco is into...
But way better hair.
Yes. Oh, Dylan's hair is fantastic. yeah, Marco's into Dylan, obviously, but he can't tell his dad that, so he mm-hmm. just stares at Dylan longingly.
You know, in today's day and age, you could tell your dad you're into Dylan, because Dylan can be a girl's name now.
Very true. Mm-hmm. Very true. Very true. And hopefully your dad's not as homophobic in this day and age.
Oh, yeah, that too. Yeah, yeah.
So the opening credits happen, and then we go to Marco and Dylan are talking in the hallway, and Marco's like, oh, it's so embarrassing. My dad keeps asking me if I like someone, and I'm like, I do like someone, but I can't tell him who. And Dylan's like,
Ooh.
You like someone. Who do you
I
like?
Know him?
Mm-hmm. Do I know him? And Marco instantly is like, oh, shit. No.
He's just a guy.
Mm-hmm. And then Dylan's like, well, I'm going to go see this zombie movie this week, and no one wants to go with me. He literally said it like that. Mm-hmm. He literally was like,
no one wants to go with me.
No one wants to go.
Will you be my hero, Marco? Mm-hmm.
And Marco.
Will you save the day?
And Marco, like, freaks out, and he, like, chickens out because he's like, zombie movies kind of scare me. Mm-hmm. And Dylan thinks that's a rejection. Like, he's like, oh, well, you just don't want to go with me. It's not that you genuinely are afraid of zombie movies.
Yeah. It's, I think he took it as like a going on a date scares me.
You know?
Because later that's what he references that. Kinda.
Yeah. This episode, I really, really, you know, I wasn't very thrilled to watch this episode. I didn't remember much about it before we watched it. Mm-hmm. I honestly forgot what the B plot was. Yeah. I thought, because there's an episode later in the season that has JT's face as the thumbnail. I thought that episode was going to be the get off my fries dog episode. So imagine the jump scare when I saw. But yeah, I wasn't anticipating this episode at all. Mm. But after watching it, I'm really, the theming of Marco's fears this episode was really mm-hmm. good. I realized that was really smart writing, because Marco has to face a lot of his fears in one episode.
Yeah.
And one of them just happens to be going on a date with Dylan.
Right.
But yeah. And so Dylan takes Marco's saying no to the movie as a rejection, and he just mm-hmm. kind of walks away, and he's like, well, actually, is that guy's name Tom?
Yeah.
He's like, actually, I think Tom wants to go. And then he mm-hmm. like leaves. So then, like I just said, JT walks up to Toby in the hallway, and he is holding a cardboard cutout of himself.
A giant cardboard cutout of himself with a backwards hat and gold and silver chains around mm-hmm. his neck.
And his head's huge.
Huge.
It's like head. It's like a weird. I guess this was like a stylistic choice, like a mm-hmm. like a marketing stylistic thing back in the early 2000s, where you like just increased the head size of a person.
Right, fat heads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's got this big fat head he's holding, and he goes up to Toby, and he's all excited about how his commercial's coming.
Yeah. So, okay, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Did you see JT's going in this direction, like as
becoming
an actor?
Becoming a commercial actor?
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. It wasn't my instinct that that's what would happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not surprised now that it has, because he's mm-hmm. always been like class clowny and
he loves attention.
Mm-hmm. So it does make sense. But no, I wasn't expecting it.
Mm-hmm. I also wasn't expecting it. Like I watched the show out of order mm-hmm. at first as a kid. So when I first got to these early seasons, after having like seen where all the characters go later in the series,
mm-hmm.
And I saw this episode, I was like, this is really. That's really random for a teenager to just get a commercial.
Yeah.
That's really, and like, this isn't the type of commercial that you would want a teenager for either.
And apparently he's like the face of lunchroom fries.
Yeah. Like, whatever.
What even is that?
Yeah.
What?
It's like, because, okay, I'm confused because it's fries, right? Yeah. It's not fry seasoning.
No.
It's like a specific type of seasoned curly fry.
Yes.
Okay. So that's not something that you, is that like, is that something that they make in the calf, or is that something that they buy and sell in the calf?
I couldn't tell you for the life of me. It makes no sense. Why do they need to have a fathead poster to sell fries at a school. Well, all you have to do is offer fries.
As we know, Degrassi loves to sell out. See the news about kids episode where they had they love money.
That's true. That's true.
They love money. So they would put your propaganda in their school, even if they don't need to.
Maybe the school gets a cut of it for providing JT.
I think they do. They're his agent. 10%. Mr. Radish is like 10%. But he tells Toby, he's like, yeah, it's going to be so cool. And Toby's like, I guess.
Toby is so skeptical right away.
Yeah. And then Manny walks by and the way Marco is looking at Dylan, JT is looking at Manny. Mm-hmm. And she's clearly, I love Manny's journey this season where she was, you know, I want to be hot. Mm-hmm. And then she was, I'm hot. And the shit and everybody, you know, loves me. Mm-hmm. Then she went through some trauma with mm-hmm. Craig cheating on Ashley and then getting her pregnant and then getting the abortion. Mm-hmm. And now everyone talks about her. Behind her back. And so just watching her shrink from how confident she was early in the season to now where she's just like afraid of talking to anyone it's really good storytelling. It's really good character work for her.
Yeah, I think so. And yes, she just like kind of slips by Toby and JT, even though JT's trying to talk to her. Cause she's like, she's so in her head. So avoidant.
Yeah. It sucks.
Yeah.
I feel so bad for her.
It does, but you gotta love JT trying to break her out of her shell.
Mm-hmm. And so
he's got an ulterior motive.
Of course. Who wouldn't? She's so pretty.
In love with her. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he like is like, hey, Manny. And she's like, no, she doesn't want to engage. Mm-hmm. And so he decides to pull a Jay Gatsby and is like, I'm going to throw a party, a watch party for my commercial so that Manny will show up to the party and we can get her out of her shell and I can make a move. Mm-hmm. And Toby's like, oh, yeah, too bad your apartment's so small. Mm. And then JT's like, well, not your house. Your house is big with a big TV. And Toby's like, I guess.
Yeah, Toby's like, too bad you're poor, dude. And JT's like, okay, but you're not, bro. So
but I have
help
a rich friend.
Out.
So, but it's funny because he's like, it's okay. It'll just be a few select people, hand selected. And Toby's like, okay.
And he's looking at Manny the whole time as he says that. So you think he's just going to invite Manny?
Yeah, he's being so sincere. Mm-hmm. And then we cut to him inviting the entire cast with flyers.
He's got flyers immediately, and he's handing them out in the cafeteria. Big party at Toby's house. Mm-hmm. Everybody's invited.
Come, bring your friends. So good. Such a good cutaway. Yeah.
Maybe the best jump cut of the series.
I think, honestly, so far, yeah. And so then we're in the calf, and Spinner goes up to Marco. And Spinner is like, dude, do you like Dylan? And Marco's like, I do, but wait a second. Why do you care? Homophobe? And Spinner's like, okay, I might be homophobic, but I'm also your friend. Those are not his exact words, but that's the implication.
Listen, I don't approve of you, but I do want you to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Spinner.
It's kind of rough, but at least he's stepping up.
No, yeah. This is.
And it is. It's like, okay, Spinner, you're getting comfortable. Good job.
Yes. This is a really good episode for the Spinner and Marco relationship and Spinner's feelings about Marco's sexuality is a running issue throughout their friendship, and I think it's done really well. This is still not the end. It's we go with it for so long, and it's like I really like their friendship and how they have to grow with each other this way. But yeah, this is just one of the first instances of Spinner being like, okay, how can I do good for the gays? It's Pride Month. But he tells Marco that if he likes Dylan, he should just ask him out. And so then he takes Marco to go do it. Like, he like wingmans him. He coaches him. And as Marco is walking up to Dylan to ask him out, Tom shows up. And Tom looks like Randall from Monsters, Inc. Like, he's, like, slinky. You know what I mean? I don't know
who Randall is, but...
Randall's, the lizard monster.
Oh, okay.
Like, yeah. He, like, walks up and he's, like, slinky. Yeah, like, he's, yeah, like, yeah. Snakey.
yeah, he's, like... The instructions from the director were probably, like, play up the gay, you know?
I mean, I'm pretty sure he was really gay. That's just how gay men acted in 2004.
I don't disagree with that, but I really think they were like, we're using you as a stereotype in this scene, you know?
Yeah. But then, okay, yeah. And Tom is a stereotype because he's like slinky and like effeminate and he walks like, and his hips are like a swaying. Mm-hmm. And he walks up, he gives Dylan a mixtape that he made. And instantly it psychs Marco out. And he turns around and is like, I can't do this. But his initial thing to tell Spinner is, I'm too girly. But literally,
right?
Tom,
that's what I'm saying. Tom is,
Tom was even more effeminate than Marco, just with worse fashion sense, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, Marco is too, quote unquote, girly in the sense that he cares about what he wears. Tom is just girly in the way that he acts, and he just dresses in a t-shirt and jeans. Right. Like, they're two different types. They're on the spectrum of... femininity. So then we go to Miss Hatzilakos' science class, and we're learning about bees. Apparently, bees are evolutionarily perfect. That is crazy information.
I don't know what that even means.
Well, she said that they haven't evolved in so long because they're perfect. They don't need to.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, like everything else is like still adapting to the world and evolving. Mm. Bees haven't evolved in so long because they do everything they need to do and they've adapted to the world perfectly.
That's interesting.
That is such an interesting factoid. But Marco is having a hard time looking at the screen because he's disastrously afraid of bees.
Oh yeah.
Which and is a surprise.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, you go ahead.
And Spinner just takes his book and shoves it in Marco's face, so we have to see the bee.
Yeah, and Marco's fear of bees is a surprise tool that will help us later.
It seemed like a throwaway nothing joke, but no.
This whole episode is about Marco facing his fears.
Indeed.
Marco says that if Dylan moved on, so that Spinner and Marco are talking in class, and Marco says that if Dylan moved on, maybe he needs to too. And Spinner's like, he knows that this is all just a matter of communication.
Yes.
And which is crazy
Spinner is so emotionally mature in this episode. It's insane.
It's I think fantastic to watch.
He took like extra his meds this episode.
Spinner is on extra ADHD medication and it took away his homophobia. Yeah.
And it just like tuned him into everyone around him. He's like wearing the Cerebro helmet.
I don't know what that means.
It's an X-Men joke.
Oh, is that the thing that like...
That allows Professor X to see where every mutant is and like read everyone's thoughts.
Okay. But yeah, he knows. He's like, this is just a matter of communication. So he decides to intervene. And he goes up to Dylan in the hallway, tells him he needs to talk about Tom. And Dylan's like, what's wrong with Tom? And Spinner's like, he has scabies. I saw him in the locker room.
It's such an absurd lie.
It really is. Have you ever seen scabies?
Just pictures of medical journals. Mm-hmm.
You've never seen them in person?
No.
I've seen them in person.
Oh, God.
On a baby.
Oh, no.
They're
Scabie baby?
Scabie baby.
No.
Scabie baby.
You've seen baby scabies?
And they just look like little pinpricks. Like, I don't know how they look on adults, but on babies, they look like little, like, if somebody took a needle and just poked you a million times... they just look like little pinpricks. They're not, it's nothing too gross.
Okay.
I don't know how they look on adult bodies.
Yeah, pretty similar, just a little bigger.
Yeah, the reason I've seen scabies is because this was literally right before the lockdown, right before COVID.
Oh no.
So I was working in the infant classroom in my old job, and one of the babies had a rash on the back of her neck, and all the teachers were like, yeah, this is probably just like, you know, babies get rashes. They get rashes all the time from their clothes, from their sheets, like, whatever. Yeah. And I was just like, yeah, whatever. But it was just persistently there for a really long time. And then she didn't come to school one day. And her parents called. And they're like, yeah, we found out that she has scabies. And we went, what? I've worked in, at this point in childcare up for like 4 years. Yeah. And I was like, I've never encountered this. What? I've encountered hand, foot, and mouth a million times.
Yeah.
I've encountered three different types of flu, like, mm-hmm. but scabies. And it turned out she got it because her parents were older. Her dad is like in his 50s. And the mom was like in her late 40s. Okay. So they're older. And his parents, they visited his mom in the nursing home. Mm. And there was a scabies outbreak in the nursing home.
Oh, wow.
And so she caught it from her grandma.
Wow.
From her grandma. I was going to say her great grandma because her dad looks like her grandfather. But no, it's her grandma.
Baby scabies come from granny scabies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yeah, luckily none of us got it. None of us who worked in the infant classroom got it.
Yeah, seriously.
It was, yeah, because we were...
That could have been an outbreak.
It could have, because luckily she was so little, she was immobile, so she wasn't like touching other babies that much. But us, we were holding her the whole time.
Yeah, totally.
Ugh.
I'm sure you avoided touching the rash.
Yeah.
So, but dang, that's a close call.
Fun childcare anecdote of the day. I feel like I have those a lot.
Have you ever encountered... baby rabies?
No, unfortunately.
That's good.
But Spinner tells Dylan that Tom has scabies, and Dylan's like, what? And then Tom is walking by about to talk to Dylan, and so Spinner, in order to cock block, hugs Dylan, and Dylan gives the line of the episode, what is this, hug the homo day?
No, it's Pride Month.
It's Pride Month. That's a way more PC way of putting it, Dylan. And then it works because Tom looks at them hugging and it's like, ugh.
Oh my God, he's touching another man. Yeah, I'm out.
That is great. Like, that's teen,
absurd.
It's teen drama shit. Like, that's one of like, that's a teen drama trope that like we can't avoid somehow. It's just like, ooh, person is like talking to another person. That is discouraging to me. Yeah. Like, come on, guys. People
it's
talk to
other people.
It's kind
of true to life. But at the same time, if like Tom has just like traded mixtapes with Dylan and arranged a date with Dylan, we presume because Dylan wanted to go to that movie. You'd be so crazy to be dissuaded.
Also,
easily.
The guy hugging him is his sister's boyfriend.
Who's notoriously homophobic.
And they kind of look related.
Yeah.
So they have the same hair this episode,
Spinner and
Dylan.
Yeah.
So like, I feel as though if you put all the pieces together, you would know this is an innocent hug.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But look, Tom, as far as we know, not very smart. He hasn't talked yet.
Very true.
Oh, no, he did talk. He did talk.
Talked?
He said, I have a mixtape.
Oh, yeah. Dylan, I have the CD I made for you. Yeah.
It would have been a good joke about him being stupid if he never spoke, but...
No, yeah. He spoke.
Yeah.
He knows he's smart enough to put music on a mixtape.
That's true. Mm-hmm. And hey, back in the early 2000s, that wasn't easy.
Mm-hmm.
You had to buy a CD burner.
Yeah. Oh, you had to buy a CD burner?
Oh, they
You're
didn't
old.
Come standard. Babe, they didn't come standard.
I had that on my computer. I
yeah,
could
me
just
too,
do that.
But I know about them not existing.
Wow, that's crazy.
I'm not that old. I didn't have it. I'm just aware of it.
I mean, you just sound pretty old.
I remember putting CD songs on cassette tapes.
But yeah, so Spinner admits that
I remember printing my own records on vinyl. I've never done that.
Was that worth it, honey?
No.
So Spinner admits that he's just trying to help Marco and is like, he likes you, man, and you like him too. And Dylan's like, like, yes, he does like him, obviously. Mm-hmm.
So Spinner's like, just ask him out. And Dylan's like, I don't think he's ready.
Ready, yeah. And Spinner's like, what do you mean? And Dylan's like, well, because when I went on my first, I'm assuming he means his first gay date.
I'm assuming that too.
Because I'm so sorry. Like, Dylan's so hot. Like, you can't tell me that he didn't date girls before he dated boys. Which I think he also said he didn't. He said he dated girls before he dated boys.
Yeah, he's definitely not Gold Star.
You know, he's, and so like, yeah. I'm assuming he meant his first gay date.
I think as we can see from Marco's whole reaction to everything that happens later in the episode. Dylan was right.
Yeah. So then we jump to cheer practice. And if you, in case you forgot, JT's the mascot.
Right.
Did you wonder why we were at cheer practice?
I did.
I knew as soon as we saw the mascot there, but I was like, I bet Ezra was like confused.
I remembered he was the mascot. I just didn't think the mascot would be at cheer practice.
Oh, yeah.
There he was.
That's all. That's like a trope that I love too. Like, it's like, that's not life. The mascot is rarely ever at cheer practice. He doesn't need to be there.
The mascot fully does his own thing.
Yeah.
His or her own thing.
But I think that's a great plot device. So I, if I were ever write a TV, a teen TV series, if I ever wrote a teen TV series where there are cheerleaders, I'm putting the mascot in cheer practice. It's such a fun plot device.
The mascot is just the top of every pyramid.
So JT goes over to Manny and he invites her to the watch party. Mm-hmm. She's like, this is at Ashley's house, you crazy, stupid person. And he's like, well, yeah, but she's like, no, people are talking about me and they'll talk about me even more there. And when I'm at school, I can walk away. But if I'm at a party, I'm stuck. And which is very valid.
Yeah, totally.
And he promises that he won't let anyone talk about her.
Mm-hmm. And that Toby said Ashley won't be there.
Mm-hmm. And so then she agrees to come because he's basically like, this commercial is really important to me.
Yeah, he claims it matters a lot. And mm-hmm. also, I think it's clear that he's like, hey, no, I'm your knight in shining armor.
Yeah.
Anything happens to you, they got to go through me.
Oh, I forgot.
That's very nice.
Yes, definitely. Sorry. Mm-hmm. JT curbed Paige right before this interaction.
Oh, that's right. Paige was trying to talk to him and he was just like, hold on, man business.
Mm-hmm. How did you feel about that as a Paige and JT shipper?
Well, you know, if I can't have Paige and JT, I can get behind Manny and JT.
Okay.
But I think I like Manny more than Paige anyway, so that
mm-hmm.
works out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I'm excited. There are some elements that I'm excited for you to see. Manny agrees to come to the party.
Mm-hmm.
So then we go to the hallway and we get a fun moment of Marco walking down the hallway to some like chill rap beats. And he's walking around and seeing couples everywhere,
mm-hmm.
including Hazel feeding Jimmy a banana.
So weird.
It's like he was walking through a jungle. Yeah. And he's like, this is the couple by the watering hole. This is the couple feeding. This is
it's so absurd. And I feel like all the other couples were extras, but then that one,
mm-hmm.
it's like, no, the characters we know, they have to be doing something interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
What if Paige's eating a banana? Not Paige, I'm sorry. What's her name?
Hazel. She's feeding the banana to Jimmy.
Right, I know. This is the director. It's like, what if Hazel's eating a banana? And then somebody else is like, no. She's feeding it to Jimmy. And the director's like, yeah, that's going to look cool.
Mm-hmm. So then Marco stops at his locker and he's just like having a moment. And Dylan comes up and basically asks him out.
Mm-hmm.
And Marco's like, he's like, I like this guy. And then Marco's like, oh, I guess because I'm too short and girly and every insecurity he's ever felt about himself.
No, you're also too insecure.
Mm-hmm.
But then Marco's like, oh, man, wait, are you messing with me right now?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody laughs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And Dylan is like, yes, I'm messing with you. And I'm also asking you out on a date. And Marco's like,
oh.
And he agrees. And now they're going on a date.
Yeah.
So then Marco invades Spinner's home. And Kendra's like, Marco's here. And Spinner's like, what? He's supposed to be going on a date. And Marco shows up with like clothes.
Yeah.
Just so many clothes. And he's like, I need to figure out what to wear. And Spinner's like, dude, you're the fashion guy. I'm not. And then Marco's like, yeah, but your sense of fashion is closer to Dylan's. And mine is clearly insane because he brings a metallic shirt that one would wear to like a rave.
Yeah.
That Spinner instantly throws
out. A cowboy jacket.
And a peasant shirt that looks like he would, that looks like you would wear it in like a Shakespearean play.
Or like if you were in like Colonial Williamsburg as one of the staffers.
Where he looks like, that shirt looks like the shirt that Thackeray Binks wears in Hocus Pocus.
Yes.
Like that. He had one of those on him. And Spinner is like, no to all of these. And like you had a funny, you said.
Yeah, it's straight eye for the queer guy.
Yeah. And he picks up a shirt that is black and it's like got like a sport number on it. It's like a rugby type shirt.
Yeah, I think that's probably it.
It's like a rugby type shirt, but it's a button down, which doesn't make any sense to me.
No, I don't understand what that was. Maybe a baseball jersey, maybe, but not quite either. I don't know.
Yeah, it looks like, it really just looks like they took a button down short sleeve shirt and then like sewed an embroidered like sport number on the lapel.
I bet you find that at like Abercrombie and Fitch.
Yeah, especially in 2004.
Yeah.
And he's like, this, however, this has promise. And so then Marco's like, okay, yeah. And then he has a moment and he's like, you know, man, thank you. And Spinner's like, yeah, don't get mushy on me. And so then Dylan picks Marco up at Spinner's, which is a fun, like, it's such a Degrassi thing. For someone to get picked up for a date at their friend's house. Mm-hmm. This has happened at least once before.
Yeah,
with,
definitely.
With Manny at Emma's house on the date with Craig. And I find that so fun, especially for the characters who might have like parents who they don't necessarily want in their dating life. Mm-hmm. So like Manny's parents are overprotective and now Marco's dad is homophobic. So he obviously doesn't want to be picked up at his house.
Right.
So he's getting picked up at Spinner's house.
Yeah, I just found it funny that, like, clearly Marco told Dylan, hey, pick me up at Spinner's house, told his parents, I'm studying at Spinner's house, which we find out in a little bit.
Yeah.
But didn't tell Spinner he was coming over.
Which is honestly what Spinner deserves.
Yeah. What if he got there and just, like, no one was home?
Yeah.
What was he going to do?
He knew Spinner. Oh, I forgot to say. I was going to say he knew Spinner would be home because when he walks into Spinner's room, Spinner is, like, playing with dinosaur toys at his desk.
He's just got action figures. He's, like, supposed to be studying, but he's making action figures bang into each other.
he's a 16-year-old boy.
What a great detail.
It was so funny. I don't think I've ever noticed that before. I was like, wait, is he playing with toys right now? So Dylan picks him up. And he makes fun of Marco's hat. I think we were talking, so we couldn't.
Marco decided to put a fedora on too, and then just like, and he's like, "How do?" He says to why do I always want to call this guy Will? He says to Dylan, "You look nice." And Dylan's like, "Yeah, you too." But then he sees the hat, and he's like, and Marco's like, "Not the hat." And he's like, yeah, it looks like you want to go to the club.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why are you doing this?
Yeah.
What the fuck is that? Just compliment the person.
Yeah. And so Marco takes the hat off.
Hate Dylan.
Marco takes the hat off and is like, I knew it. Spinner tried to warn me. And Dylan's like, no, it's fine. Whatever. And then they
it's
have
not a big deal. You're still great.
Yeah. And so then like, they well, have.
Why
like,
did you say it?
Yeah.
It's not a big deal.
Well, he was just, you know, ripping him a little bit. Ripping him a little
sure,
bit.
Sure, yeah. It's just so weird.
So then they're sitting in the car and they're like, and Marco's like looking at him like, wow, he's so hot and great. Mm-hmm. And then a bee. And did you notice that Marco is wearing bee colors?
I didn't.
Yeah, he's wearing black and yellow.
Oh.
And that's probably, they're like, oh, the bee was, you know how they always say, like, bees are attracted to you if you're
if you're wearing colorful stuff.
Or if you're wearing, like, bee-colored stuff.
Oh, really? I thought it was because...
It's a myth.
I thought it was if you're wearing colorful stuff like a flower.
I've heard that, too. But I've also heard if you're wearing black and yellow, bees will be attracted to you because they'll think you're one of them.
Is that what that song Black and Yellow is about?
No, that's about the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
and so he jumps out of the convertible car and is freaking out and he's like, bee in the car. And then Dylan just looks at him and he's like, pretty scared of bees. And Dylan's just like, ah, ha, 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 ha. Like, oh, you're so cute and funny and adorable.
Yeah. I feel like in this episode, especially in this moment, if like Marco also had like, he also was like, by the way, I know this cool band. He'd just be a Manic Pixie Dream Girl.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes, definitely. Though it just dawned on me this whole episode. I was feeling something like weirdly like nostalgic. And I was like, what is this? What am I feeling nostalgic over? It wasn't the episode itself. It wasn't anything Degrassi related. It's because I think while I was in Fun Home, I was Dylan. And I was playing the Dylan type character.
Oh, yeah.
To Giselle playing the Marco type character. Totally. Because I'm like, the whole episode, Dylan's just watching Marco be gay and adorable. Mm-hmm. And that was, I had to do that every night for Fun Home, where I'm like, I am playing an experienced lesbian watching a girl come into her lesbianism. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I was like, what am I feeling right now? And I was like, oh, it's because the Joan of it all.
Mm. Wow.
Your roles really stay with you forever.
Marco's getting a major, changing his major to Dylan.
He's changing his major to Dylan. Okay.
Real inside baseball joke for all y'all.
So then we go to the mall. They're eating Asian food out of like frozen yogurt cups. What was that?
Oh, I think those are just like paper bowls you can get at a...
They just look like what you would get at a frozen yogurt place.
Yeah, it's just like a cheap rice bowl.
Okay. Okay, so you've seen this.
Sure, yeah.
I've never seen Asian food.
You worked at Panda Express. You never saw a bowl like that?
No, they didn't have them like that.
Oh.
They didn't have... They weren't round. They're bowl... I mean, they're round, but they're like black. Have you ever gotten a bowl from Panda?
I've only eaten at Panda like one time. I don't really
You're
remember.
Lucky. but no, it's like their bowl. So like you order a bowl is like your first option because it's like one protein, two sides. Mm-hmm. And that's like a black, it's like a black like bowl like this. Like it's a circle bowl with like a lid. And then you order a plate, which is like a classic styrofoam plate, which is two proteins, two sides.
Mm-hmm.
Or like you have, it's like one big side, but you can get it half and half.
Yeah.
And then, that's kind
of. Yeah, this is just like a Panda style place that had Red Bulls.
And no, the bowls are different style. What I'm talking about, this is so arbitrary. Mm-hmm. What I'm talking about is like a like Froyo style bowl. So it's like round, it's like a cylinder.
Yeah.
With a flat bottom.
Yeah.
A Panda bowl is like a bowl like in your kitchen.
Right. No, I get that. But what I'm saying is the place that they ate from
had Froyo bowls.
Didn't have the bowls you're talking
about.
I
think we agree.
Yeah, I think so too.
It looked like they were eating out of frozen yogurt cups. Anyway.
it didn't strike me as odd. I'm sorry.
Anyway.
Just
that's,
classic food court stuff.
You want to know something funny? That's all I wrote. I didn't. What did they talk about?
I don't know. It wasn't anything interesting.
Yeah, they were just kind of talking and being cute. And
yeah, it was just like establishing that they're having dinner.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because then Dylan's like, I think, oh no, they're talking about what they're afraid of. So Dylan's talking about being afraid of killer whales.
Oh, right. This is the killer whale story.
Yeah. And then he's like,
One time I volunteered to get kissed by the whale at SeaWorld. Mm-hmm. And when the whale tried to kiss me, it was big and scary.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, and then, dude, it's a whale.
And then Marco's like, wow, I guess we're all afraid of things. And Dylan's like, yeah, but we're still like cute while we're doing it. That's not the dialogue, but that's basically
pretty
what was
close.
Happening.
I guess we all have fears.
So then we jump to JT's party where Manny is sitting awkwardly on the couch sandwiched between two
large extra guys.
Yeah, large extras with like chip addictions, because as soon as JT sets the chips down in front of them, they just like and
so many weird extras this episode.
Really? Yeah. And JT sits down on the couch and he's like trying to see if Manny's having a good time. But then like the show, the commercial is coming on. He's like, oh, guys, this is it. And so then the commercial comes on.
Oh, my God.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
It is JT in a basketball jersey over a t-shirt, which, as mm-hmm. we all know, in the early 2000s meant urban, mm-hmm. And a backwards baseball cap and chains.
A lot of silver chains.
Mm-hmm. And he's like talking like, yo, 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 season up your fries. We got to get our fry on. Mm-hmm. Get off my fries, dog. Now, my question is, why do we need the dog there?
I mean, why did we need any of this? But yeah.
Why is the dog in the commercial?
Oh, right. Oh, I thought you meant the dog in the sentence.
No, I mean,
no, yeah, yeah.
No, the dog in the sentence is so that this is embarrassing for him.
Right.
But the dog in the commercial is so that the dog in the sentence
is referring to an actual dog. Yeah.
Which I'm like, no, the point of dog is that you're talking to a person.
Right.
So why did we need that? That's just like, it feels like the white people who wrote it were trying to make fun of white people.
Maybe
that's it.
Just like make fun of appropriating.
Yeah.
Misappropriating culture.
Yeah. Because they're like, oh, get it? Because like these people don't even understand that dog isn't referring to an actual dog.
I feel like that was also common then in commercials to have like, like
literal things.
Yeah. Or like there was like the rapping chihuahua from Taco Bell, mm-hmm. and like, yeah, I feel like there was a lot going on with dogs in commercials.
Very true, very true. Yeah. The Target dog, you remember the Target dog?
For sure. Mm-hmm. The Walmart dog.
It's not a Walmart dog.
Wasn't there?
No, you're thinking of the Target dog.
Okay.
So, this commercial is so embarrassing for him.
Right after the commercial ended, I said, this is offensive.
Yeah. And everyone at the party is like, oh,
I'm really glad that the party also thought it was offensive, because I didn't think that's what was going to happen.
Well, I think they thought less that it was offensive and more they thought it was so bad.
Yeah. They thought it was cringe.
Yeah. They thought it was cringe. And so JT looks around and he's expecting everybody to be excited about it. Mm-hmm. But then Jimmy goes, it's okay, man. If you go to school on Monday and everyone's making fun of you, you can just say, hey, get off my fries, dog. And then that's when he realized, oh no, everyone's gonna be making fun of this for the rest of JT's life. So then we go to the movies, and Marco is watching the zombie movie and trying to hold Dylan's hand. Mm-hmm. And I said, look, it's our third date. And you said, no, you were more like Marco.
No, I said I was more like Marco.
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I changed the tense. You said you were more like Marco. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, you would have to have tried to do anything to be Marco in this situation.
No, but I was too scared to touch you.
Mm-hmm. So
I didn't want to make you uncomfortable.
For the listener, if you don't know, on our third date, we saw A Quiet Place 2. Mm-hmm. And for the entire two-hour runtime, I was trying so hard to get Ezra to touch me in any way.
And I was like, we never talked about boundaries. I don't know what to do. I really want to just grab her boobs right now, but I can't.
That was not what I wanted. If you did that, I would have hated you.
I know. See? That's why.
But I was trying. I was expecting like an arm around my shoulder.
Would have made sense. Would have made sense.
I was expecting a handhold.
Would have made sense.
Literally anything.
Yeah.
I was like, I just remember like adjusting my body every like 5 minutes, mm-hmm. so that you would like want to do
and
that.
I knew it was happening and I still froze. And I'm the most grateful person in the whole world that you gave me a fourth date after that debacle.
It was so funny. I remember getting home to Daniel and being like, I sighed and adjusted my body so many times trying to give him the opportunity to put an arm around me, and he did not take it.
And now I can't. You can't go anywhere without my arm around you.
Yeah, now it's careful what you wish for.
My hands are in your pants right now.
Right now. So Dylan tells Marco it's okay, mm-hmm. to hold his hand. And it's like, aw, consent. And then they come out of the movie and, uh-oh, Marco's parents are here at the mall. Oh, no. And So they run into Marco's parents, and Marco's like,
And Dylan's like, what is it? Did you see zombies?
We skipped.
And
we
says, worse.
No, my parents. Mm-hmm. No, we need to talk about Marco's mom. She says, I thought you were studying at Spiener's.
Spiener. Yes, that was good. My reaction to seeing Marco's mom was, oh no, this lady's going to be homophobic.
She looks pretty homophobic.
Yeah.
But then Marco's like, Spinner got sick. And then I came to the mall I came to the movie by myself, and I ran into Paige's brother. And then he's like, this is Dylan. And then Mr. Delarossi goes, Dylan? My son talks about you all the time.
Yeah.
Says you're a great hockey player. And Dylan's like, oh, well. And I'm like, oh, that's so embarrassing.
Yeah, that's so
rough. That's so embarrassing. And so he and Mr. Del Rossi loves hockey for some reason.
It's Canada.
That's true. And so he puts an arm around Dylan and is like, come join us for dinner. And then Marco's like, Ma, we already ate. And she's like, you know your father.
Once he thinks about dinner, it's time for everyone to eat.
Which I think, I wish I knew exactly what she meant by that. Like, was it what you just said? Once he thinks about dinner, we all have to eat? Or is it like he loves sports that he has to talk about this teenager? He has to talk to this teenager about hockey. Does he have a boundary issue? I think it's
boundary issue for sure. But I think it's like a... everybody eats at my table kind of Italian stereotype.
That makes sense. That makes sense. But they take him to an Italian place, which is very silly.
Ridiculous.
They are talking, and then Mr. Dolossi's like, oh, everything when you guys are your age, it needs to be a girls, girls, girls. God. and then Marco's like, oh, dad, blah. And then the mom's like, what about this nice girl from church? And Marco's like, Ma, she's 300 pounds. And wow. me and you were just like, well, random fat phobia yeah, from Marco.
Just out of nowhere, fat shaming. This episode is dealing with homophobia, not fat phobia. So you have to understand, they can't conquer two things at once.
No, they can't. Do you think when Marco, in the future, gets Grindr, that he's like, no fats? Or does he feel differently about fat men and he's just sexist?
Probably that.
I could see Marco being into bears.
Yeah.
But then his mom was like, but she's also very nice. And so then the waiter comes up, and I have my notes. Their waiter is gay. Mr. D homophobes in front of Dylan.
Yeah. The waiter is like, just like has a little bit of a sachet to the waiter.
He's literally, he's a normal person. He does not. Like if this waiter were Tom, I would understand.
I feel like they're going for a Tom vibe with this waiter, but it didn't happen. But then... Yeah, I'm not going to repeat exactly what he said, but basically he was like, how does a gay person carry plates?
You know, I'll say what he said.
Okay.
He said, how can he carry the plates with a limp wrist?
Yeah.
Which in 2023 is kind of funny. Like, it's not funny, but it's a little funny.
It's like a stereotype of
it's just so
homophobia.
Insane. Yeah,
yeah, yeah,
it's so insane.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he's like, and then basically he's saying like, how can that man get a job?
I guess, yeah.
And then he's like, I just don't understand. How can two men be together? It's basically the same thing that Spinner did when he first was homophobic.
Yeah,
he was like, two guys together? Bleh.
Yeah.
There's no boobs in that.
Where did the penises even go?
Mm-hmm. And so he's being really homophobic, and Dylan's obviously uncomfortable. Marco's uncomfortable and trying to get him to stop. Mm-hmm. But then Dylan's like, I have an early practice in the morning. I will.
He literally starts the sentence with the time.
Yeah. The time. I have an early practice in the morning. I need to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he leaves, and Marco's all like pouty. And then we hear his parents arguing in the background.
Marco's mom is like, how could you say that? And he goes, would you have it written down?
No, I actually don't.
How could you say that? How could that come out of your mouth? And he goes, put the spaghetti in your mouth.
No, she's like...
No, she calls him a big mouth.
Yeah, she's like, you have a big mouth. And he's like, well, you put the pasta in your mouth. In your big mouth.
In your big mouth. God, what a... In the moment, I thought like, oh, that's going to be a thing that we say to each other for the rest of our lives because that's so funny. And then I immediately forgot it.
Put the pasta in your big mouth. but yeah, so do the... Okay, my question is, do they know Dylan's gay? Because, no. Well, like then... How did they figure that he was offended by the homophobia?
I think that as much as we think 20 years ago this would have just been okay, it wasn't. Mm-hmm. And even Marco's mom was like, what the hell are you doing saying that? Mm-hmm. They don't think it's not about Dylan. It's about just general, you know, being a person.
Right. That makes sense. And so... At school the next day, JT is about to walk in and Sean and Jay walk up and make fun of him. This is a good like ensemble piece episode.
Yeah.
Like it's not like everybody has a whole
still
point.
Emma, still
well,
nobody.
Emma was at the party. She
was
didn't
she?
Yeah, she didn't say anything. She had no lines, but she was there.
Hmm. Good for her.
It's like everyone kind of was around. Sean and Jay walk by and they're like, ooh, get off my fries, dog. And then JT's like, oh, boy. And so then Manny walks up and tells him that his commercial sucked, but he didn't because he's great. And he's like, I don't want to go inside. And she's like, well, you have to. And we have Armstrong's test, so we got to get our math on. And he's like, wow, I'm going to kill you.
Because get our math on is also a quote from the commercial.
Yeah. And so he chases her inside and then they're being all cute and stuff. Mm-hmm. And they're really cute. That's the end of that story.
They are.
And so then Marco and Spinner are going to the dot where they see Dylan. Mm-hmm. And Marco's like, oh, I never want to talk to him again. That was so embarrassing. And Spinner's like, well...
Time
to face your fears. And so he and Dylan go and take a walk in that alley, the gay alley behind the dot, if you're aware. because that is not only where Marco told Spinner he was gay for the first time, but now also where he gets his first kiss.
And also where he pouted one time.
They go off and talk and they explain that, you know, this is new and... Marco's embarrassed of his dad's actions and Dylan's like, I'm not going to not date you because your dad's homophobic, blah, blah, blah. And then they kiss.
Yeah.
And it's really sweet.
It is. It's a nice
and they get a
light,
second date.
Really quick kiss.
Yeah. The kiss was really, really light. Really
and
light.
It prompted me to say, Dylan's actor is straight, right?
Yeah. And you asked me to look it up.
Yes.
And you
not
want
tell me until we're on the pod.
Yes.
So the answer is
Dylan's actor. What's his name again?
Fucking. I don't know.
Dylan's actor, John Francis Brieger, is, drumroll, straight.
I knew it. You could tell from the kiss. He wasn't comfortable.
Yeah, you could tell. I honestly think his portrayal of Dylan is very honest.
Yeah, I think it's been great acting until that kiss. Was,
yeah.
The kiss was fraudulent.
Yeah, I get it's fraudulent. At least that is the assumption. Based on this photo
of him kissing a woman,
yeah
I think that's
yeah
I mean, listen, bisexuals exist. Talking to two of them right now, but that band's straight.
You're right, you're correct. But yeah, he's also very pretty.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so that was the episode.
Yeah
How'd you like it?
You're good. Yeah,
honestly, this is a good episode.
Yeah. I love to get some JT. And the Marco plotline was fun. Yeah,
it was nice and light. Nothing crazy. Way lighter than our last gay storyline with Marco.
Very
which
much
was
so. No beatings this episode.
Yeah,
no. Nice. Yeah.
No hate crimes, which is great.
I love avoiding hate crimes.
Me too. So where do you think this plot is going to go?
I think they're going to date for a little while. I don't think they'll last, but I think they'll date for a little while.
Okay.
And then Marco's dad is going to somehow get in the way, but then they're going to try to overcome it. And then later they're just going to break up as normal because things happen. People grow apart. And I think Manny and JT date for a while, but it sounds like it's kind of messed up. Maybe Manny like is weirdly controlling or something like that.
What do you mean? Why do you think that?
I don't know, because you said something earlier about being excited for how things go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it's all good.
Okay.
I don't know. With Degrassi, it's never all good.
Yeah, mind you, we've got 8 seasons with some of these characters. Sometimes some of these characters, we 9 seasons with some of these characters.
Yeah.
So
they can't just live happily ever after.
Exactly.
That
exactly. Yeah. So some of the relationships maybe, that you see now mm-hmm. make it a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them, they don't.
Well, I guess based on the way you said that, Manny and JT probably do last for a long time. Manny mm-hmm. gets JT pregnant. and yeah.
Okay. Okay. How would you rate this episode?
I'll give this episode 4 out of 5 food court Chinese food bowls.
Okay. Okay. High episode.
Yeah.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I think I'll give this episode 4 out of 5 seasoned curly fries.
Nice.
Yeah, I really like this episode. I honestly forgot so much of it. Mm-hmm. Like, all I remembered when I saw this, that this was the episode coming up, the only thing that was in my head was, this is the episode where Marco gets scared by the bee.
Oh, wow.
That was all I could remember.
That was such a small part.
And I was like, I knew it had something to do with Dylan, because I knew mm-hmm. Dylan was in the car. But that was kind of it. I was like, I know Marco's probably going to date Dylan. But like, I couldn't remember all of the beats of this episode. And I was pleasantly surprised with what I saw. And I really, really was impressed and surprised by the Spinner and Marco relationship.
Yeah, that was really, really good.
Mm-hmm. Like you said, Spinner is more emotionally mature than anyone.
Yeah.
For the first time in his life.
Yeah, yeah. The Spinner stuff, I don't think he can stay this. Mm-hmm. He's definitely going to regress at some point. But mm-hmm. yeah, it was nice to see him be a good boy.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it just goes to show how much he cares about Marco.
Oh, and it was nice to see that Kendra is still alive.
Yeah, Kendra is definitely still alive. That was wild.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Spinner, like his, how much he cares about Marco was very apparent mm-hmm. in this episode. And yeah. he's so like, you know, even though he doesn't quite understand everything that Marco's dealing with,
he still has no idea where the penis is going.
Mm-hmm. He wants to support his friend.
Yeah.
And he wants to see his friend be happy, especially considering like all of their friend group is coupled up. And he's like, look, I want Marco to be happy, so I'm going to facilitate
this. I don't know where you're trying to put it, but I support you trying to put it somewhere.
Exactly. Also, I like to think, like, this is where my, like, online role player brain comes in. I like to think that Spinner is, like, excited about becoming brothers-in-law with Marco.
Oh.
He's like, if I marry Paige and Marco marries Dylan, then we can be brothers.
That definitely sounds like Spinner.
Yeah, him in his room with his action figure.
That's what, like, he was doing. He was like, look, we're brothers. Bang, bang, bang. Brothers fight.
Spinner's just like in his brain as a 3-year-old. Okay. So our next episode.
Uh-huh.
We've only got 3 more of season 3.
Woo! We're so close.
We're so close. Home stretch. Our next episode is season 3, episode 20, and it is titled I Want Candy. Okay. Now, I don't know why it's called that. Spoiler, that has nothing to do with this episode.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So
well, I'll take back my guess that I hadn't made yet.
Make a guess now and then I'll give you a hint.
Everybody does Molly.
So our key players are Paige. This is so it's a few. Mm-hmm. Paige, Spinner, and Ashley.
Okay.
Yeah.
Paige, Spinner, and Ashley. It's called Everybody Wants Candy, but that has...
Candy has nothing to do with it. I guess, okay, I think my only guess as to why it's called I Want Candy mm-hmm. might be so I Want Candy is like, I want something that makes me happy.
Mm, okay.
And they all want something that makes them happy.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and guess that... Spinner stars in an Aaron Carter style music video and has his first single come out, and he gets so popular that Even Ashley's into him, which Ashley would never be into Spinner unless he was Aaron Carter. So then it becomes a little bit of a love triangle situation because Spinner's like, oh, I've never been with a brown haired girl. and obviously Aaron Carter, you know, would have loved to. I don't know what I mean by that. But so that's my real guess.
Okay. That's just the plot of the Lizzie McGuire Christmas episode where Lizzie meets Aaron Carter and gets to be in his Christmas music video.
That's so funny. I did not know that.
But pop off, I guess.
And then my real guess.
Oh, I thought that was your real guess.
No. No, that was a joke. My real guess, they all get something they want. Gosh, I just have no idea what that could be.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
So open-ended.
It really has nothing to do with this. But yeah, okay. Fun guess.
Thank you.
Based on this episode, season 3, episode 19, It's Raining Men. Are you a Degrassi fan?
I wouldn't say this moved the needle for me on that. I think, like, I liked it.
You say that every episode.
Yeah. I mean, because it never really blows me away, unfortunately. I like this episode. This is the kind of thing where I'm like, oh, okay, this isn't that interesting to me, but they're doing a good job of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I enjoyed it, but I definitely am not like, I still, with other than the pod, I wouldn't be watching this.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have a question for me?
I do. Yeah. Having put up with the jokes you had to cut from me today and me having my hands literally in your pants for a lot of this recording.
Do you still love me, baby?
Of course.
You still love me, baby?
I'm losing it. I'm losing it with every time you ask.
Do you still love me, baby?
Yes, I do.
Oh, good.
Okay. All right. Well, that was fun.
Yeah, it was.
Where can the people find you on social media, honey?
I'm at Ezra Partier on Instagram. I haven't really been on TikTok or Twitter lately, so don't worry about that. My show, The Daily Misinformer, is now streaming live every Friday night at 9 p.m. Pacific. We're doing some improv games, doing some monologue jokes. It's all news based and it's at Daily Misinformer and all the things. And my improv team Headbutt is at UCB every couple of Mondays on Herald Night.
Awesome. You can follow me at OMG It's Key. That's on TikTok and Instagram. You can follow the podcast at Cuckoo Bananas Podcast on Instagram, or you can email us at cuckoobananaspodcast@gmail.com.
Please do.
Yeah.
I'd love to read your emails.
Yeah, they're fun. But yeah, I'm excited for the next episode.
Yeah.
We have literally no idea what it's about. Or you have literally no idea what it's about.
I have no possible way of knowing.
And I really am curious why it's called that.
But maybe they're eating candy at some point.
Maybe, but yeah. okay. Well, I don't know how to sign off.
Oh, for the news team here at Cuckoo Bananas Podcast, I'm Ezra Parter.
And I'm Keely Bell.
And we'll see you in the morning.
Bye.